Hello, and welcome to Oh No, Ross and Carrie, the show where we don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal, but take part ourselves.
Yep, when they make the claims, we show up so you don't have to. I'm Ross Blatcher.
I'm Carrie Poppy, and we are here to talk about the aura ring.
Ooh, aura, you say?
Yeah.
The, like, energy fields that surrounds your body, and some people can see it. It can be different colors depending on what you're feeling.
That's what you would expect from this show. I always try to pronounce it to give away that it's not aura, but we say aura.
It is aura. Aura. Really.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. It's O-U-R-A. And it's a ring, like a physical ring that you wear on your finger.
Yes. So I found out about this, I think originally through an Instagram ad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to ask how this came on your radar.
I know it was an ad. I think it was an Instagram ad.
I need to know which platform this came
from.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah, as we find so many things, they get advertised to us.
Yeah.
And aura, however it should be properly pronounced, did they say on their website?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see.
You think they would want to answer that question definitively?
You know, there's a very popular vegan cheese called Daya. And the way it's spelled makes a lot of people think that it's Daya.
Oh, yeah.
And so finally, when I worked at an animal rights organization, I was like, I'm just going to call and see how they answer the phone.
Oh, smart.
And they did, and they said Daya.
I did that with Wacom. They make, like, the drawing tablets.
Oh, okay.
And everybody says Wacom, because it W-A-C-O-M. And so I called them, because, you know, I had to talk to the support reps there many times, and said, how do you say it? And they said, oh, we say Wacom. Like, what do you do with a dog? You Wacom.
Ah, cute. What do you do with a beaver that comes out of a hole? You Wacom. Mole. Mole.
Then it would be Wacom.
Ross so slowly looked up at me with such a strange look. What do you mean, Carrie?
You extract...
What do you mean?
You extract things from his glands by his butt?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
Okay, so
some beaver excrement that's in your Starbucks.
Their website is aura, O-U-R-A, ring.com. Oh, they have an FAQ.
And they have an about, which if you try to click on it, nothing happens. No one needs to know about it, okay? But yes, they do have an FAQ.
Can I wear the ring at the gym? Does it measure my body temperature?
Yeah, so right now people are like, I don't get it. It's a ring. What does it do?
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just a ring, people. It's a
This
device.
Is the thing that we should say up front. That's right. Yes, this is a device. You wear it on your finger and it monitors your body.
Yes. So you know how a Fitbit or those other fitness trackers, how they pick up on your heart rate. They can tell how fast you're moving. Maybe they count your respiratory rate, depending on the model you've got. Maybe they're counting your steps, et cetera, et cetera. This goes on your finger, does most of the same stuff. Obviously doesn't have a screen, but it connects to your phone so you can look up all that info. And supposedly, the idea is that it will be more accurate than something that goes on your wrist because the arteries in your finger are actually a better place to take the pulse.
Well said.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Ross.
So, okay, they have a tweet wondering how to pronounce aura. It's aura. In the logo, they use that little straight line over the O
right.
to let us know that it's that long vowel sound.
And still, we're aura. Like, we don't care. We're confused.
So there we go. Though the U throws you off.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we know. Aura. Aura ring.
Aura ring.
Oh, right. So yeah, you'd suggested that we try this, and this would fit more within the maybe fringe science or edge of science part of our purview. But we thought, yeah, what can you actually learn from this aura ring?
And in particular, Ross. Ross, is it?
I'm Ross.
I was excited about this because in the initial ad that I saw, it said that they were hoping to be able to detect COVID-19.
Yes.
Before you might notice it, just due to these little biomarkers of your temperature increasing just ever so slightly, or you not getting as much sleep as you would have because you're more restless. Now I'm making stuff up.
But the idea is they're
little things you wouldn't feel.
Yeah, they're pulling in all these vital signs, and they're working with the University Hospital at San Francisco to pull in those stats. And they've been giving out a bunch of Oura rings to frontline workers.
Yeah.
Just to enroll them in the study.
They've given out like 200,000 to nurses and doctors. Oh,
that's
cool.
Crazy. Just to see, yeah, is there a way to kind of accurately predict that someone might have COVID-19 just from looking at their heart rate, their sleep patterns?
Now, the first ad I saw, and I wish I could pull it up because I can't say with confidence how confident they were in the ad.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember thinking like, oh, this is marketed as a way to detect whether you have COVID-19. Dang. But now I can't find that.
Okay. So because it's not that.
I don't want to lock them to that, especially because once we actually got it, it became apparent that no, they're pretty open that this is a study. We're figuring out whether it can do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
The feature that they seem to be the most confident about is that they feel it's like the best measurer of sleep of all the fitness trackers.
Yeah. And I kind of compare it with Apple Watch. I know there's a lot of different trackers and various other watches and bands and things that pull your vital signs, but I always think of the Apple Watch because it also tracks your sleep and your activity.
Mm-hmm.
So this was doing kind of similar things, and I've always been kind of jealous of those. I know every time I watch an Apple Watch product announcement, I think, oh yeah, maybe I need that in my life. And then as soon as it's over, I say, nah, I'm good.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you get there.
Yeah, at least for that product. I can't claim that for all these other things I have. I have AirPods and all that. But
sure.
Yeah, so the Oura Ring kind of promises to do all of this with the minimal impact on your body, I guess.
I promise to do all this with the minimal impact on your body. That's the ring talking.
Oh, no, it's a talking ring. Quick, take it to a volcano.
It literally promises to do that.
Talking rings need to be thrown in volcanoes. That
in Lord of the Rings, does the ring talk?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. It'll whisper things to you. It'll put thoughts in your head.
Ah.
Yeah. It turns you invisible as well.
Okay. Well, that's a feature, not a bug.
Yes. But the more you use it
and
turn invisible and, you know, do whatever burglary things with that, the more Sauron, the evil lord, knows where you are.
Oh, no.
So he uses it like a tracking beacon. So you don't want to wear it all the time.
Sure. Because
then a bunch of ring wraiths, those creepy looking guys are going to descend upon you. Either on their flying beasts or on their horses and kill you and take the ring.
Why is anyone keeping this ring around? It sounds like it's not worth its
Well, because it weight. Makes you want it. Like,
oh, no, it's like drugs?
Yeah, exactly. That's a very good analogy.
Oh, no.
So that's why Gollum had it all those years, because he's like, my precious.
Oh, he was talking about the ring when he sang that thing?
Yeah, my precious.
Oh, that's I thought he was like, the ring. I thought that was, you know, like his girlfriend or something, you know?
No, it's the ring, because, yeah, it totally, like, obsesses you about it.
Oh, well, that sucks.
And men are particularly, well, I guess kind of everybody in that world is susceptible, but men seem to be susceptible to that call of the ring. There's all these other rings. Men have 9. Oh, elves have 3.
Dear.
Dwarves have, I'm going to get in trouble now because I can't remember exactly how many the dwarves had, but they lost them all. Anyways, I want to say it's 7.
Okay. I don't care.
I'm not going to look it up. Sorry, that's a long... This ring hopefully did not talk to you. It didn't talk to me.
So when I hear dwarves, I think Snow White and the Seven.
Yeah, these are similar
so complex,
but different.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Really, those are dwarfs.
We were joking before we started this.
This should be a simple, quick episode.
We were never going to be able to get through this, and we would end up talking about Charlotte's Web somehow, and now we are talking about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I think that's close enough.
Yes.
And Know Thyself. Okay, so.
Also on the website, just in the realm of potentially extraordinary claims, they say that this ring will help you sleep better, and in the copy, they say, every night your body performs the equivalent of modern health miracles. Everything from improving memory to producing cancer-killing T cells. They use the word cancer. And while you sleep, your body is sending a flurry of signals.
Wait, you used the word cancer too.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
I have never said the word perambulatory.
It's not
Oh,
true.
No, I just said it. And while you sleep, your body is sending a flurry of signals. When decoded, these signals, heart rate, body temperature, and more, communicate your body's progress as it prepares you for the next day. So essentially, this ring will make your life better. That's a claim.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's try this out.
Yeah, why not? Now, I really thought going into this, I was like, yeah, tell me if I've got COVID-19. This is an exciting claim.
Yeah.
And then that claim really softens up.
Instead, it's something very responsible, which is we will send your data as long as you consent to this study to be used.
And in fact, I really wanted to just opt in to a system where it would be like, okay, you're cool with it? Great. We'll send them everything. But instead, every single day, it's like, Carrie, you promised you'd be in the study. Will you fill out this thing?
Sure,
What's your fever? And I'm like, you've got the... You're on my hand!
Right. Why do you need me to input the temperature?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll pull out the thermometer and, oh, well, we'll get there.
Yeah.
So we bought this thing.
We did, and we had to compare hands.
Yes.
Because, okay, it turns out...
Well, it's kind of nice. They send you, when you start the order process, they just mail you the sizing guide.
Right.
Which really confused me because I thought, don't you want this fancy Apple product looking box with these little plastic rings? Don't you want me to send it back? But there were no instructions to do so.
Really?
Yeah, you're
so
just
you still have those?
Junk it. I did until like a week ago.
Tragic.
But there were all these different sizes from, I think, 6 to 14.
And we wanted to find a size we could both wear because one Oura ring is
$300. And with tax and everything, $346.19. And that's when I'm thinking, oh, well, I could just buy an Apple Watch for this almost.
Yeah.
It's in that range, or depending on which model you get. Absolutely. Okay, yeah. So they send you a little sizing kit for sizes 6 through 13. I am not an accessories guy.
Uh-huh.
And I know you're all thinking, Russ, you're married. You've been married 20 years. You must have a ring.
Oh, wait. Maybe the ring should say it. You've been married 20 years. You should have one of me.
Is that how the ring talks?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Number was promising earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to throw it in a volcano when this is
oh,
all
no,
done.
No, I don't want that at all.
It's your fault for talking.
Oh, shit.
So I wasn't sure what my ring size is because I have had wedding rings and then I keep like taking them off at a gym and then I lose them or someone steals them.
Who's gym?
Or one just mysteriously disappeared. I've gone through 3 rings.
I want to buy up a series of gyms and just call it Jim Halpert. And then on the wall, there's just pictures of Jim from The Office, like looking at the camera going, boy, oy.
I love it.
Right?
Yeah, I'd go to that gym.
Can we start that?
Sure.
After COVID?
And then another wall will say post no bills. So everyone can just post pictures of Bill Clinton and Bill Hader.
Pictures of a close-up of a duck's nose.
And then we'll host the Colin show where everybody's name is Colin.
Absolutely.
And they'll say a phone number, but they'll get mad at you if you call it.
Yeah, we really just have the one line. Okay, so we compare hands.
So I was curious to find out how fat have my fingers gotten.
And so this is wild. You're shorter than I am.
Yes.
I'm 5'7". How tall are you?
5'5".
Okay, but you're a boy, I've noticed.
I am a boy.
You're a cis boy, and I'm a cis lady. And it turns out my biggest finger, my middle chunky finger, is about the size of your pinky finger.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they'd be that different. But for me, the comfortable size on my ring finger was the 10.
Wow.
I gave you that, and that fit nowhere.
Yeah. My leg.
We found a compromise. I could get the size 8 ring. I'm not sure quite how they calibrated this because each ring has these little nubs inside of it. Little mounds, half spheres that are pointing inward.
Right.
Essentially, like adding extra texture to the inside of the ring.
Because when you get the real thing, those are going to be the sensors.
Right. Which you want in a particular orientation. Anyways, though this size 8 fit my pinky just barely. It was kind of snug on my pinky. Occasionally it would get stuck and it fit on your middle finger.
Right, which is my biggest finger. If I put it on my thumb, It's actually it's okay on my thumb.
Oh, okay.
But
that's no good. They
best
want
best fit is my.
They want you to wear it on fingers 2, 3, or 4, ideally.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. But that makes sense.
But they said it would work on any finger, so it worked on my pinky.
Yeah, and it worked on my middle finger. But still, there's like enough space that I bet I could go down a half a size.
Oh, that's
if I had
wild.
To. I know, right?
So I've got fat fingers, I guess.
Or I'm very dainty.
So then you have to pick which ring you want, and they have kind of two major styles. One has sort of a flat top, and one has a pointy top.
Oh, I didn't even notice that difference. Okay. And
because it helps you kind of orient the ring and know which direction it should be facing.
Oh, I'm glad you got the pointy one.
Well, I'm glad you're glad, because I was going to go for the flat top one. Oh. I thought that was better looking, but it was sold out.
Oh, okay.
In the color we wanted. You can get either kind of a silvery color, medium gray, or this like kind of graphite darker ring, which I was surprised you said you wanted.
I remember looking at them and thinking, I'm surprising myself by preferring this one, but I prefer this one.
Yeah, here I thought I was going to have to kind of go with my second best. Mm. But yeah, we got that. And hey, we got pointy because that was still being sold.
Yeah, I like it. So now it's kind of like a witch's hat, black and pointy.
For $299, though, $346.19 by the time it gets to your house. Probably.
That is a freaking expensive ring, though it's not as expensive as my other ring.
Yeah, touche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My good ring.
It's got infrared LEDs, NTC temperature sensors, an accelerometer, and a gyroscope. How did they get a gyroscope in there?
What is a gyroscope again?
It's, you know, something that spins around to essentially, it would kind of show you orientation. And then if you move from that orientation, it will show you like, oh, you are rotating.
Oh, right. This is why the flat earthers are into them.
Six axes.
Okay, got it.
Right, even though that really fancy gyroscope they got showed that the earth was
round.
So quite a bit crammed into that little ring.
Yeah.
It's made of titanium, so it's durable and lightweight, weighing less than 0.25 ounces.
Damn, that's tiny, tiny.
They say it's the most comfortable smart ring in the world. I can neither confirm nor deny. Another little small thing, the part that touches your finger is all plastic, so there's no metal contact with the ring, even though it's titanium elsewhere. Titanium on the outside, plastic on the inside.
Just like me.
So it was time for our adventure to start. I used it first.
Yes.
And funny enough, I started using it the day before my birthday, August 5th.
Whoa, and you died on your birthday.
Yeah.
Are those connected?
No.
Oh.
We hope not. So it comes in a very sleek Apple-like packaging.
Yeah.
That's just sort of our measure for all packaging.
That's very like sleek and
minimal.
Minimalist and very symmetrical.
So you've got this kind of cube shape and it just has the Aura logo and then the little ring image on the side, which is the O with the line over it. Then when you pull off the top, then you've got this smaller cubicle inside and it's got a black nipple.
Yeah.
Black plastic nipple with a ring on it.
Yeah. And so at first you're like, oh, okay. Am I supposed to keep this whole cardboard box? Does it have some use? But it turns out that that whole black areola pops out.
Yeah, and then that is your charger. And it has a little tiny spot to put in the USB cable, which is nestled underneath this whole contraption. And that's how you charge it, by putting your Aura ring on top of that, like a wireless charger. There's no hole on the ring itself for you to plug into, which is good because that helps it stay waterproof. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be submersible up to 100 meters.
Oh, wow.
So I should hope no one's trying to go deeper than that.
Sure. I have washed my hands with it and washed my hands without it. I will say this. You wash your hands with it, you are going to get like moisture trapped in your hands in a way that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I kept taking it off.
I would do that and either take it off first or I'd wash it all and then take off the ring, dry that finger, dry the inside of the ring, put the ring back on.
Yeah. Well, I now have little ring holders next to my sinks so that I don't lose my rings.
So once you've charged up your ring, then you put it on your finger and you have to download the app.
Yes.
You need an app on your phone.
There's an app for that.
So you create a profile and an account. So now they've got your email. They talk about how they respect your privacy. You agree to all that. You connect via Bluetooth. I downloaded it on the Apple App Store, but they do have it on Google Play as well.
Yes. So for all you who don't have Apple phones, you could still do it.
And at least on Apple, they give you the option to, it connects to your various other trackers. And so it can pull that health data. So I said, sure. If you want it to. I allow it.
Ask for permission. Oh, yeah, me too.
Then you sign up your birthday and your height and your weight, male, female, or other, and your units. I put them in Imperial because we live in the U.S. Mm-hmm, and we're a backwards country.
Then this is the only way.
When it comes to that. Yeah, and then they ask you some questions. They want to know what your goal is. Mm-hmm. I told them I wanted to be more productive and energetic.
Oh, interesting. I think I said I wanted to focus on stress reduction.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And your other options are to be more present and focused, to improve your athletic performance, to develop your learning skills and creativity. That's interesting. That might have been my runner-up. And to improve your health. I don't want to do that.
That seems pretty broad.
And then they ask how your sleep is at the moment. You can choose, I sleep well and feel energetic. Mm. Or, I think I could sleep better. I'm often tired. That's what I chose. And I have trouble sleeping.
Mm. I'm not sure which one of those I chose. All true sometimes. So I guess it depends on what I felt right then.
And then you can choose multiple options of things that affect your sleep right now.
Yes. And I remember it was like, does a dog or cat sleep with you?
I work shifts or nights. I have small kids. Mm-hmm. I share my bed with someone. I said yes to that. I travel frequently. I live a hectic life. Mm-hmm. I signed on for that.
Yeah.
I feel stressed the moment I was feeling that. So I said yes.
Mm-hmm. I bet I did too.
We're so similar.
Oh my God. I can't believe we're both stressed during this COVID-19 pandemic.
And then they've got the fancy little product image that matches your ring on screen. Like, oh, that's so fancy. It knew what my ring was. Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it shows the little lights and tells you about how, yeah, you want to wear it so those little nubs on the inside of the ring are pointing toward the bottom of your finger.
Because that's where it's going to get that sweet, sweet heartbeat.
Exactly. It doesn't want to be pointing at the top of your finger. That's useless.
Nothing. You'll get nothing from that.
Yeah, the first thing you see is that a sign up for the UCSF TempPredict study invitation.
Which we both said, hell yeah.
So join the study. It tells you a bit about that and how it's enrolling frontline workers in health.
And the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, interesting.
And NASCAR.
I noticed on the website they mentioned that they have some kind of partnership with the NBA. So maybe they've got basketball players using it as well.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing a bunch of research with various athletes and health workers and all sorts of people whose blood pressure goes up and down.
Which is, A, cool that they're giving out so many of these rings for this study. But also, it's good marketing, of course.
Yeah, of course.
I'm reminded of those power balance bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, definitely not popular
I think they got through their fad phase and they got slapped enough times that they've kind of fallen into obscurity.
Oh, wow.
But for a while you had basketball players, like I think Lamar Odom would wear the power balance bracelet and we're like, oh.
Yep. I remember like the Dodgers going through a period where a bunch of them had it. Yeah.
Dodgers, come on. Yeah, so they tell you, you can tell all of this went through an institutional review board, you know, very clear on exactly how they're going to use your data and what they expect of you. So you fill out this little survey for them. They just want to know how much exposure you potentially have to coronavirus. Mm-hmm. They want to know how you got your ring and if you need one provided. I have my own personal Aura ring.
I remember seeing that and being like, could I have gotten this for free? But I don't think we could have.
Did you write them maybe and ask if we could have an evaluation one?
Did I?
Usually you're good about that.
I often do, but I don't think I did.
Okay. Well, we bought this. and then you identify your race or say other or prefer not to answer and how many people live in your household. And then they want to know any conditions that you might have like atrial fibrillation, sleep apnea, COPD, asthma.
Interesting. My mom and my aunt both have AFib.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Our friend Spencer had a really interesting surgery that he got to, like, I think disconnect a certain nerve, essentially.
Okay.
And that cut it right out.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he's going to contact me and say, oh, well, it's more complicated than that.
Sure.
But still, it was like this crazy, like, hey, you cut in the right place. You disconnect this particular pathway and voila.
Interesting.
That fixed his atrial fibrillation.
My mom has only had, I think, one actual episode with it, but she said it's like really scary. You think you're having a heart attack.
Oh, yet. Man. From the way he described the episode, it sounded awful.
Yeah. So hopefully you don't get that.
Yeah. When your parents go through things, you know, I have a very good chance of getting prostate cancer. I think it's like 25%.
Sure.
No, because my dad had it.
Yeah. Hi, Paul.
Yeah. He says hi back. And this was interesting. Both of us thought this was really strange. They have this ladder.
This is so weird.
On a scale of 1 to 9, on this ladder, and they have a little visual ladder with the rungs labeled, where do you put yourself in society?
In society. So then it's like, 0 means your needs are not met at all, and 10 means you never worry about your needs, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, the most money, the most education, and
right.
the job placement and all that.
God, I mean, how accurate could self-reporting be on this? But anyway, I think I said 7.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
High five.
Hey.
High 7. Yeah, because I thought, I'm quite well off and all that. But I can imagine people who are higher on the rungs than I am. So.
Yeah, me too. I have trouble figuring in like my spending so much on healthcare, basically. Like so much of my income goes to like having migraines. That, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I obviously I'm lucky that I have the resources to deal with it.
Yeah. I mean,
if I lived in Canada,
you have a lot more expendable income. I always think of how when you look at the global mass of humanity and also you take time into account, I can easily think.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Time into account, forget it.
Right. Like I was telling Andrew, of all the humans that have ever lived, we are in the top 1% of 1%, you know, of like our living standard and the amount of time that we spend scared about what we're going to eat or whether we're going to die. You know, we are doing so well. I feel like I have this really, really lucky human experience already. Which kind of curtails any like mad dash for more.
Sure, sure.
Because I'm living the good life.
Why'd you feel that way?
But on this ladder, I'm on 7.
Same. I wonder
for all time though, and all of the world round.
Sure.
I'm easily on 9.
Have you ever gone through like a time of poverty?
No. The closest I could point to that was when I was first married and young, and you know, I'd like to say I kind of paid for everything on my own. I didn't get a lot of handouts or go to my parents for money. So definitely I remember times where like had to be really strategic about what we could eat. Nothing I would actually call poverty. And I did have like a safety net if I needed it.
And Ross doesn't object to handouts, just so you know.
I don't.
I went through a period where like I was afraid, you know, I was crying a lot about whether I would get food, whether I'd be able to eat. And it's terrific.
I remember that kind of around the time we first met. Yeah, I don't think I've ever even been in that.
Sure. Even then, I'm like, okay, but if something horrible had happened and I threw myself on the mercy of the state, would I have survived? Like, it seems possible that I would have survived, and not everybody in this world can say even that, right?
Yeah, wow.
Anyway.
What we're saying is we're fortunate when we realize that. Anyway, that ladder, boy, that... That started a whole conversation. And then they want to know any drugs that you're on, beta blockers, beta agonist, asthma inhalers, amphetamine or other stimulants, decongestants, tricyclic antidepressants.
Okay.
Or I prefer not to answer. And then they break all those categories down.
I know that amphetamine category technically includes ADD meds and stuff, but I like to picture the person who's like, well, I use meth, but I also want this Aura ring to really track my sleep.
I mean, I think they would just want to be able to take that into account for the results they were getting.
I think
oh, that crazy heart rate. All right, that's all the heroin.
Yeah.
But again, this is all the UCSF study questions.
Right.
This isn't setting up your Aura app.
Right.
Just in case everybody's like, this is very invasive. Yeah. They want to know kind of about your overall stress level from not at all to extremely. I was somewhat. How in control you feel. This week.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember being like, not in control. It was a bad COVID week.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was moderately in control. How often you feel stressed, or at least this week? I said a little bit.
A lot.
Oh, about COVID-19 specifically. Yeah. And then they let you know what they do with your data. And then you could choose, I would like to receive antibody testing from TempPredict, even if results might not be provided to me. Oh, yeah. They never sent me any kind of antibody testing.
Oh, yeah, me neither.
But when I do the daily check-in, they'd want to know if you'd had any testing,
right,
what type it was, what the result was.
Right.
And like you said, they'd want to know your temperature.
And then any symptoms you've got.
Right.
Which that made sense to me that I'm self-reporting, like whether I'm coughing. Okay. That checks out.
Mm-hmm.
But my temperature? That's what you're here for, sir.
I know. Pull it from the ring.
Come on. Hey, I've got all that info.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to ask her.
Listen to the ring.
It's me, the ring.
So there we go. Now we're enrolled for the study. So they sent me an email to renew my agreement, essentially.
Okay.
And I didn't because I knew at some point I need to give you the ring.
Oh, right.
And so I let it cancel. And that was, I think, August 31st. So then I handed it over to you so you could join the study.
Oh, wait. So the studies, it's only a month at a time. Is that right?
I guess so. Or I just happened to join at a prorated time where the next renewal... But anyway, they sent me an email and I didn't renew because I needed to let you try it. So I used the ring for a month.
Interesting.
I stopped September 3rd. So watch your emails.
Okay, I guess so.
Yeah, because they will pull you off if you don't actively click on that.
Damn.
Sign up again.
Okay, Ashley Mason, PhD. Jeez, she's the study coordinator.
So anyways, the short version of that is they ask you a bunch of questions about your health and willingness to participate in the study. And we were very willing because... We like participating in studies.
Yeah.
That's our jam.
Yeah, I like BlackBerry.
So every day you're supposed to fill out that survey, take your temperature. Why am I doing that?
I just didn't. You could click like, I haven't taken my temperature.
Oh, that's true. Okay. I was thinking maybe they just want to see if you use like an under the tongue thermometer, how well does it match up with the data they're getting from the ring. From me.
Hey, Carrie, your temperature is currently 98.2.
Which you think the app would just tell you.
Right?
For a while, I was thinking it wasn't even taking my temperature because it doesn't give you like a, right now, you're at 97.8.
Oh, yeah, I just assumed it wasn't. Is it?
It is.
Oh, yeah, because it does tell you like drops in your temperature.
Yeah, so it shows you like a baseline that it doesn't define, and it'll say like, oh, you are 0.3 above average. What is average? Tell me.
Okay, I get that. It is annoying. So first, let me be here with you in this moment. Okay. That is annoying. I hear you. I see you.
Oh, now you're going to play the devil's advocate.
But
okay.
When I was calling in the nurse's line when COVID first started and I was like, I don't know, my throat hurts. Am I supposed to be doing something?
Mm-hmm.
The nurse at the nurse line did tell me like, well, we now know that your temperature is irrelevant. All that matters is the mobility around your baseline.
Oh, okay.
So
interesting.
So like,
but at least tell me what my baseline
is. Yeah. Fulfill my curiosity.
Seriously.
Yeah. And then maybe say that on there. Say like, this number isn't really relevant. What's relevant is your mobility, which is 0.2%.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was like, if today you're 97.1 and tomorrow you're 99.5, call us back.
Okay. And then as you filled out those things for the study every day, it would also give you a long checklist of various symptoms. Say, have you had fever? Have you had shortness of breath? Have you been coughing?
Yep.
And for a while I was coughing, so I would put that in there.
See, and I'm like, headache? Okay. Well, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you it's not COVID. I promise. But of course, they need that data too.
Now, off of the study and going back to the ring itself and the app itself, there are three categories for which this ring says it's going to help you. One is readiness. One is sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And the final one is activity.
Yes.
And those are going to be the little three tabs within the app where it'll give you these little charts and diagrams and their assessments of how ready you are for the day and how healthy your sleep is and what your activity looks like. Have you been moving around enough?
Yeah, this helps you with those things insofar as logging and understanding them helps you. You're going to have to take the next steps.
And they do want you to wear the ring all the time. The idea is for it to be on 24/7.
Which is a little tough because... You have to charge it every, like, 4 days, probably.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. For a ring that's, it's not too fat. It's fatter than the average bear.
Mm-hmm. No, you know what? I disagree there.
I was going to say, if a bear was a ring.
Oh, okay.
It's baseline that matters.
Rings aren't bears. That's a crazy thing to say.
If they were.
I'm a ring.
Oh, I see. Rings can't do conditional thinking.
I don't know what the fuck that means. I'm a ring.
If you were a bear, you'd be a little thicker than the average bear.
Oh, like subjunctive mood. Okay.
Yes. That's right.
I know about that. Okay, I went to school. All right, Ring school.
We're back on the
Ring
same.
Ring U.
We're back on the
that
same.
That movie's actually about Ring University, where I went to school.
Is there a movie?
Not Ring U. It's not the Japanese original of the Ring. It's a college film about where I went to school. Now Ring U.
Now I want to see a film that's like the Ring equivalent of Rubber. Did you ever see that film about the tire that terrorizes
the
town?
No, I haven't seen any movies except Ring U.
Oh, okay.
Or are you talking to my friend Gary?
I was talking to Carrie.
What movie?
Rubber?
No.
It's like just an absurd horror film where this lone tire rolls into a town and destroys everything and
that's
like
fun.
Sets off fires and explosions. Whoa. And kills people.
Well, Drew and I saw Suspiria for the first time last night. It was incredible.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a 1977 horror movie. Yeah. Italian. It's great.
Nice.
I was there. It was really good.
Oh, now you do watch movies.
I love movies. I was just playing with you because you're my friend.
I'm still taking you to the volcano.
Oh, don't take me to the volcano. That's so mean. Okay, I'm going to take a nap.
All right, well, let's talk about the stats that this app gives you for all of these categories.
Yeah, okay, I'm back. Let's see. Let me pull up my app here. So it tells me my activity goal progress, which has been very poor lately.
Ugh. I'm saying ugh, not at you, but this app and the way it measures activity. Okay, so you're starting with my least favorite module.
Oh, geez. I'm sorry. Well, let's just get it over with. So activity goal progress. Right now it's giving me an activity score of 52, which is, I think, out of 100. So okay. Not great.
So first of all.
Okay.
This app, every day, it gives you this new seemingly arbitrary goal. Let's look at this. On mine, from starting at day one, the daily goal for my activity progress was 450 calories on the first day, 250,
oh.
450, 450, 450, 200, 450, 450. So usually 450.
I don't even understand what you're... So it's 400 calories.
Like every day, it would usually be 450, but there we go, 300.
But even then... 400. Okay, so let's just imagine for a second that it's just a static number, 300. You're going to burn way more than 300 calories in a day. So what is it?
That's a very good point, because then it tells you what your estimated total burn is, and that's always up in like the 2000s.
Right, so, okay.
So I guess... Some of that is just your metabolism
burning
calories. Yeah,
living a life, running a brain.
But they want you to have like active calorie burn.
Right, okay. So mine just says 300. So I'm guessing that's like they want me to burn 300 calories while doing exercise, which changes my respiration rate.
Oh, that's weird. Mine in the upper left, it says my goal progress out of a total number of calories, whereas you just have a single number. What's going on?
Okay.
Why is this app different than every other app? That's strange. Okay, well, that was like the first annoying thing, is that every day they had some weird new arbitrary goal for me of like how many calories they wanted me to burn. And then it would be like tracking my steps and my walking equivalency. So it would let me know like, you walked 5 miles today. So what we're looking at these little bar charts that you can scrub through to see your performance over multiple days.
Mm-hmm.
And all of Carrie's activity has synced up to my phone, even though you reset the Ring.
Yes. In between our using it, we did a factory reset. And so then as soon as Ross came over to record the episode, the Ring was like, I missed you.
And it's like,
I'm going to hook up to your phone.
It's essentially ratting on you. So even if you can't see your own...
I'm ratting on me to a lot of people.
All right. So looking at Carrie's, it's telling me your goal progress for every day. And so the first day it was 450, then 300, then 250, then 200, then 250. It's like just arbitrarily choosing these different goals for you. And then it has a numerical rating. So you were talking about being in the 50s.
Yeah.
So the first day I had this Ring, it gave me a 95. It said excellent.
Okay,
and I was
doing
like,
good.
I'm so active. Yeah. And I think it just happened to be a day where I went for like a 7 mile, 8 mile run.
Oh, sure.
So it was like, you're awesome. And there's these little metrics that it uses to calculate this score. One is stay active. One is move every hour, then meet daily goals, training frequency, training volume, and recovery time. So for that first day, it's like optimal, optimal, optimal. You're great. And then every day after that, I would get just these random scores. Like the bar chart seems to bear no resemblance to these numbers. And
why
it's just,
can't I find this on mine?
It feels so arbitrary. Are you on the activity tab?
Oh, wait. Oh, you know, now I see it. Yeah, stay active, move every hour, meet daily goals. Mine's like, pay attention. training frequency, training volume, and recovery time.
After that first day, I could not make this app happy again. And I would have days where I would go for another 8-mile run. I'd be like, now it'll be happy with me.
Yeah.
But I did it late at night. And so it's like, I couldn't move this number. It was still 75 and it said good.
Oh, shitty.
And like every time this thing would send me a little notification, it does that to say like, have you thought about stretching your legs a bit? Maybe you should get up and walk around. I would do it. I would get up. I'd walk around.
And I'd only notice it every once in a while. But whenever I see it, I'm like, okay.
And sometimes I'd go walking with Kara and say, yeah, let's do 5 miles. That'll boost my score.
Yeah.
And it would go from like a 35 to a 40 or something.
Like,
come on, what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
You're not rewarding me properly. I got really annoyed with this app.
Oh, that's really funny. I just look at it and I'm like, man, that activity thing sure isn't going up.
And there are days that look like shit. Like you can't even see this day on the bar chart. And it says, good, 73. And then I work really hard, like have this huge day that like stands out from all the others. And it says 81. Good. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
I worked hard.
What do you want from me?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I think I didn't put too much stock in this element of it because.
Good.
Unlike sleep, I feel like something else is already doing this job for me. I have a little log every day, write down like how many reps I was able to do with my dumbbells and how many push-ups I can do and how many crunches. So I already am like gamifying that for myself.
Okay, so you have that in your life.
Yeah.
And I was doing this kind of at the same time I was doing the Wim Hof method and tracking that every day.
Yeah.
And there's really no way to tell this app, you know, like, I held my breath for 2 minutes.
You should be proud of me.
Or I did a bunch of push-ups.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or something like that. So.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like, I know obviously like raising your heart rate is good for you in small bursts, obviously. And raising your respiration rate, good for you. But, you know, some discussion about whether it's more important to like be doing aerobic exercise or to be like weightlifting and so on. And so it seems like this is heavily weighted toward the aerobic prolonged aerobic exercise.
Interesting. Yeah. And I guess it doesn't have too much data to go on, but it just felt so arbitrary to me to the point where it's like, I can't do anything to improve this score. Why even try?
Right, right.
That was annoying.
Oh, yeah. And that's not good. That's learned helplessness.
So, right. Yeah. So I'm giving the activity monitor a big fat thumbs down. But all the little charts look cool. It's all interactive and you can scrub through it and it shows you like how much you moved around for any given hour of the day. The data looks cool.
Yeah, if you want to make a line graph of your life, this is the app for you.
Yeah.
Speaking of, if you wanted to make data about your life and share it with the world, you know what I would use if I wanted to do that?
I would probably recommend Squarespace.
Exactly. I would also use Squarespace for this purpose. Here's what I would do.
Okay.
I would get a bunch of fitness trackers.
Okay, yes.
I would sync them up, get a bunch of data about myself.
Smart.
Make a blog that's like, Carrie's fitness journey. And then has a picture of me like running from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen.
Oh,
and you're
like,
into the future. I get it. She's on a journey. But then, and this is where it gets fun.
Okay.
On the picture of me, everything's crystal clear photography, except a mask is like slapped drawing over my face.
Right.
And everyone would be like, oh, that's fun. No, she's fun.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Smart.
That's what I'd have on my Squarespace fitness website.
Well, that's wonderful because it's the best place to blog or publish content, to promote your physical or online business, or even to announce an upcoming event or special project.
You said it, Ross. And Squarespace gives you access to beautiful templates created by world-class designers.
Ooh, that's the best.
Exactly. And it has powerful e-commerce functionality, a new way to buy domains.
I bet even if we contacted an alien species, Squarespace would immediately collaborate with their designers to make sure we have access to galaxy class designers.
Oh, I bet they would. I bet they would. However, I would warn Squarespace that if how humans treat non-humans is any prediction, we probably don't want to be in contact with any intelligence with more power than us.
Oh, I see. You're on like the Stephen Hawking side of this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so.
Like we should fear contact with aliens because they'd probably like do a Columbus on us or something.
I mean, the way pigs are pretty close and but chimps and we treat them like
the counter argument is by the time you get your society together and collaborating to a point that you can achieve space travel, perhaps now you have reached some higher ideals of interaction with other.
Not gonna happen.
Okay, I say it's probably a coin toss, one or the other.
Oh, well, I call tails. And a new way to buy domains and choose from over 200 extensions. You get dot depressing if you want to write about this.
Or carry dot workout.
Yep, there you go. And 24/7 award-winning customer support. The famous Stevie-winning Squarespace.
So whatever your dream is, as we all know, a dream is just an idea that doesn't have a website yet. So you can make it a reality with Squarespace.
Check out squarespace.com/ohno for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code ohno to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
But hey, while we're talking about great services and products, I want to tell you about Quip.
Quip.
Oh, you've heard of them?
Oh, the toothbrush company?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love teeth and I love taking care of them.
Yeah. Well, when's the last time that you got rewarded for brushing your teeth?
That's a great question. I guess it was the last time I used my Quip.
That's right. Because with Quip's new smart electric toothbrush, good habits can earn you great perks like free products, gift cards, and more.
Oh my gosh, you are right.
So yes. This is like another app where you can track your daily habits and get rewarded for
them. Oh my gosh,
I
can put that on my website. Oh my God. Well, listen, how has Quip improved your life, Ross?
Well, it's made brushing a fun activity.
Yeah?
Yeah, more than it was before.
All right.
You know, it's got that built-in timer, so I know, oh, I've been brushing too long. Because sometimes you're just kind of, you're there and you're just doing your thing.
And you get stuck in one part of your
mouth. Yeah, and starts doing that little buzzing thing. And it's like, oh, geez, I've been doing this for 2 minutes. I better stop now.
Oh, interesting. I wonder if you did it for longer, if that would be okay.
I would imagine it wouldn't like hurt anything. But it's like, oh, I've sufficiently brushed my teeth.
I'm done. I've reached the threshold.
I've gotten distracted by this YouTube video I'm watching.
I would say fun is a little high. I'd put it between pleasant and fun.
Well, I mean, brushing can be a chore.
But in this case, no way.
And, I'd never stuck with an electric toothbrush before Quip. Because I was a meat and potatoes guy. You know, I was just like, I use a regular toothbrush. But this one came along and it didn't have to plug into the wall. Yeah. It used batteries. It lasts for a very long time.
It's got a cute little name.
Yeah.
Sleek little design.
Looks great.
Not expensive.
It works really well.
So listen, the brand new Quip Smart Brush for adults and kids connects to the Quip app with Bluetooth, and then you can track how well you're brushing, earn points for daily brushing, get bonus points for completing challenges. You know, you got Ross Baldra on the line when you have that built in.
Yep.
And redeem for rewards like free products, gift cards, and discounts for Quip and partners.
And if you already have a Quip, you can upgrade it with a smart motor and keep all of the great Quip features you'd already know and love.
So start getting rewards for brushing your teeth today and go to getquip.com/ohno right now and get your first refill for free.
That's your first refill free at getquip.com/ohno.
Spelled G as in golly, E as in Ella, T as in Toomey, Quip, QUIP.com/ohno.
Quip. Better oral health made simple and rewarding. Whoa, Carrie, what's that bright light?
Oh, I'm just shining a screen in your face.
Oh, my goodness.
What a good friend.
Oh, it's like I've
what
gone.
What a good friend.
It's like I've gone to Dodger Stadium and there's a Jumbotron.
That's exactly what it is, Ross.
Oh, that okay, all right.
It's a Jumbotron.
My eyes are adjusting.
On high brightness for no reason.
Goodness, that's bright. Okay, so it looks like this is for Kylie and Kelsey?
Yes, it is, and it's from Mizuki, Jolene, Sydney, and the Graveyard Cats.
Well, it looks like they say, we dreamt of a factory where they manufactured what we needed.
I think that's a cake reference.
Is it?
I think so.
Like the band?
Yeah, I think so. Hang on. Apparently it's not a cake song, but I know that line. Guys, get in touch and let me know what that is. It's going to drive me nutty.
There's a blog here with like that exact phrase as a title. So, okay. I see that. It's a reference to something.
It's something. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. Anyway, they go on. Here's to living deliciously for another 30 years, or until the Pleiadians come for us all and Sheila Mae Brown finally puts her whole butt in the garbage. I have no idea who Sheila Mae Brown is.
These must be either inside jokes or just outside of our ken. Then they continue to say, beatbox, beat, beat, box. Three beers to me. Happy birthday. All right, we just read some weird encoded message.
Yeah, okay, I'm looking at, the only Sheila Mae Brown I can find is like an old woman.
I bet the sequence of words we just uttered like activated some robot.
It's like, did you ever see Chopping Mall?
No.
Oh my gosh, Ross, it's me, the ring. You would love Chopping Mall. It's so good.
I know what you're talking about, though. I've heard of it.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. It's an 80s movie. I'm sorry. I'm sort of a cinephile. I'm going to go back to sleep.
It's so great. Anyway, y'all should see Chopping Mall. Tell me where that lyric is from. And Sheila Mae Brown, if you're listening, we wish you well.
And hope your butt was it gets in the garbage.
Yeah, unless you don't want that, in which case your body, your choice. Okay.
Yay, Jumbotron.
Yay.
MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron if you want us to read random things we don't understand.
Okay, back to me. This episode's about me.
Oh, hi, Aura Ring. Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, I didn't like your activity tracker. What else you got?
Okay, sorry. Well, I'll track your sleep.
Okay, let's talk sleep.
All right. I'm going to let Carrie talk for a little bit. I'm tired. Well, shoot.
So
I would say this is the business end of the Aura Ring.
Absolutely. This is where it shines. It's this is moment where it proves to shine. Itself. Yep. Mm-hmm. So every night it tells me how long I slept, how long I was in bed.
Yeah, that's interesting.
My sleep efficiency, my resting heart rate. I'm not sure how they're calculating sleep efficiency.
Right. It's their special ingredient metric. List. Yeah, they've kind of put together this. I think it's kind of like that other score I was talking about, but it feels less arbitrary. But
they at least tell you some of the ingredients in the soup.
Exactly. Yeah, so you can kind of see what it's pulling from.
So there are sleep contributors. So total sleep, efficiency, restfulness, REM sleep,
yes,
deep sleep, latency, and timing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, Ross, but mine's like, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention.
Let's see. As I scroll through, I get a fair amount of pay attentions, especially on restfulness and sometimes REM sleep, sometimes deep sleep. Timing always. Like, it's always, pay attention, Ross. Pay attention to your timing. Mm-hmm. Your timing sucks.
Yeah, so we've talked on the show about how Carrie needs a lot of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
This is really showing me why that is.
Yeah,
I get crappy ass sleep.
Now, I thought this was really cool, like having all these charts. It'll show you your sleep stages.
Yeah.
So it'll say, this is when you started sleeping, and it puts a little like moon next to 1:19 in the morning for this day. And then it shows you got up and out of bed at 9:50 a.m.
It'll also tell you little points where you woke up for very just a briefly. Second and may have forgotten it even.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, that's right. The cat was crying last night and I got up for a second. Oh, weird.
So when I first got a Fitbit, it would also tell me this bit of information, like how often I woke up. And the first time I saw it, I was like, that's not true. I'm not waking up like four times a night. That's nuts. And then noticing, I'd have those moments and be like, oh my God, this is one of those times.
I would have totally forgotten about this.
This is true. Wow. Oh my God, this is amazing. I guess it was right about this.
I just got an amazing idea for a movie. I'm going to write it down.
Then that started happening. It starts like jogging your executive functions.
Oh no, right.
So then you're like your brain more awake than you meant to be. So
That can be self-defeating.
Your mileage may vary.
But also in this chart, like it'll show you exactly when you were in REM sleep, when you were in light sleep, and when you were in deep sleep.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
And it turns out I am never in deep sleep.
I feel like I cracked the walnut on my sleep behavior. It seems there's always this progression, like REM sleep takes a while to get started. Like you have to sleep for a couple hours, and then it's like a little bit of REM sleep, and then you go back to kind of vacillating between deep sleep and light sleep.
Right.
So I always have most of my deep sleep up front, and with little periods of light sleep.
Okay, I want to go back to mine. Mm-hmm.
And then the REM sleep starts to creep in, and then more and more. So when I only sleep for like 5 hours, I barely get any REM sleep. But if I manage to sleep like 7 hours, then I start to get a lot of REM sleep.
Well, tell me about your deep sleep. How much deep sleep did you get last night?
Okay, well, let's see. Well, I can't look at last night, but looking at these days here, okay, hour and 30 minutes, hour and 10 minutes, hour and 35, hour
and what percentage of your total sleeping time?
Let's see. Okay, now going forward still, 19%, 12%, 24%, 18%, 24%. Why? What are you getting?
No wonder.
Do you not deep sleep?
I'm at like 4 and 5%.
Whoa. So you're not getting deep sleep.
I'm not sleeping. No wonder I sleep so long. I'm not sleeping while I sleep.
You need to produce those T cells to fight cancer.
Look at this. Like, here's last night. I didn't get any deep sleep until I got 22 minutes around 8 a.m.
Oh, oh, that's totally different than my normal chart. Whoa.
Yeah.
We sleep differently. You spend a lot of time in light sleep. That's characteristic for you.
Oh, it is. Like, I've noticed it. I didn't expect it to be as different as yours as it is. As different than yours as it is.
From yours. Yeah, let's get the right prepositions there.
As.
In this very.
It is.
This very strange sentence. Yeah, I would say this is kind of like a typical night for me.
Whoa, that looks healthy.
So it starts with a lot of deep sleep.
Whoa, see, I'm just like light, some deep sleep. Oh, good morning.
But yeah, apparently most of my dreaming, the REM sleep happens toward the end of my sleep cycle. And so my problem is, and this is so cool too, like there's a little chart underneath that shows how much movement you had, like how much you were flipping around in your bed.
Oh my God, you don't even want to see mine of that.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. Poor Drew.
That would be an interesting thing to show like a prospective partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like as you're asking each other questions about, you know, how compatible you are, like how much does this person move around in bed?
Is yours that bad?
Oh my God, look at you. you're like a sound wave. Look at mine.
Oh, it must be so nice. Well, no wonder you can get like 6 hours of sleep and be okay.
And maybe it's productive sleep.
It's good sleep.
Because, what are they giving you for sleep efficiency?
94%.
Oh, well, that's good.
But then restfulness, pay attention.
Okay.
Deep sleep. You know, like the line is almost gone.
I would say.
So I don't know what counts as efficiency.
I would say I was usually like in the low 90s or high 80s for sleep efficiency.
I think I know. I think efficiency is time spent asleep versus in bed.
Oh, okay. So like if you go sit in bed and read for a while, you sort of get penalized.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
But the thing it would always harp on me about, I wanted to give it the right word because I deserved it, is my timing. My timing is all off, especially during COVID.
Sure.
Like, I don't get tired now until 3, 4, sometimes 5 in the morning.
Oh, geez.
Which is awful. I know I've got a meeting at 9 a.m. I got to be there. Sometimes
better
awful.
Just knock off a few hours of deep sleep.
And then you're just sitting there in bed thinking, okay, well, now I know I need X number of hours of sleep. Even if I fell asleep in 15 minutes, I'd still only get 5.5 hours. Well, that's not good.
Yeah. And then the sirens come running for you and the ambulance comes to get you and they're like, rah, rah,
just
rah,
even,
rah.
Even you saying that, I can like hear it in my head.
Yeah, really?
The sirens.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Because they aren't going on outside us.
What do you have to say about that ring?
Oh, hey, Ross. I'm kind of forgetting my own voice a little bit, but I just wanted to say I went from your body to Carrie's body.
Uh-huh.
And holy shit, you sleep so much better. You sleep like a prince on a soft cloud. And poor Carrie.
Oh,
she's the pauper. Poppy.
I get
going
it.
Going back to sleep.
It also measures your resting heart rate, kind of the average and the lowest. So I guess that can be another indicator if you have things going on that need attention.
Yeah. Okay, so my lowest heart rate was at 7:45 a.m. And so it's like glowing white?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll just look at average. It seems overnight the heart rate would generally go down. You know, it would spike it almost looks like a heart rate monitor, but stretched out for a whole night. But yeah, it looks like I was usually around 57, 61, 58,
55, 53. Okay.
Those are my average resting heart rate. So sounds pretty good.
Whereas this will surprise no one since I'm not getting any sleep. Mine stayed pretty close to my waking heart rate.
Oh, interesting.
Average 65, lowest 59.
Okay. Yeah, I'll sometimes get my lowest down into the high 40s, but usually it was somewhere in that 50 range. So all of this was super cool to me. Like, I would get up in the morning and hop out of bed and be like, okay, what are my stats for last night? How did I sleep?
Yeah.
I really liked having this info.
Yeah, yeah, this is the best part. And so once you've been doing it for a while, almost a month, it gives you a recommended sleep time based on your habits and like how those are working or not working for you.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Every night around like 11:30, it would say like, hey Ross, you should start getting ready for bed. Little notification on my phone. It would be trying to train me to move towards midnight, but I have a screenshot here that says, bedtime's approaching. Tonight, aim to go to bed a bit earlier than usual, between 2 and 3 a.m. It's like so sad. What's wrong with me?
Oh, you get perfect sleep. That's what's wrong with you.
This is the theme now.
I must say, this doesn't totally shock me. It's shocking in like how bad it is. But, like, I've been told my whole life, like, you toss and turn in your sleep, and, like, you hardly seem asleep.
And to be able to quantify that is really interesting. And I bet a doctor would love to be able to, like, kind of glance at this info and be like, oh, hey, this tells me a lot.
I may bring it in because, like, I know that melatonin production and migraines are linked. And, yeah, this could be very useful. Anyway, so mine has started telling me that my ideal sleep time is between 11:45 p.m. and 12:45 a.m.
Well, that sounds very reasonable.
So it wants me to start winding down my body and mind right now.
I'm trying to get better. Oh, wow. Okay.
So I leave my home.
I have been getting better lately. I generally force myself to get in bed at least by 1 a.m.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. And then sometimes I'll sit there and be very unproductive, but at least I'll park my butt.
Yeah, I'm usually in bed by midnight these days, but I read a bunch.
All of this kind of reminds me of this delightful short from the 30s. It was Robert Benchley. He was a comedian at the time. He's in that Reluctant Dragon film. Have you seen that one? Where the guy comes and visits the Disney Animation Studios.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I haven't seen it.
He kind of gets oh, you'd like it. It's fun and very much of its time. Anyways, I remember this was on a VHS tape of a Jeanette McDonald and Nelson Eddy film that my mom had. So I used to watch this little comedy short called How to Sleep. And it was kind of like if you made a live action version of one of those goofy how to ski videos.
Oh, sure.
But it was him dealing with all the things that we always deal with going to sleep. Like, oh, now I'm suddenly really hungry and I just emptied the fridge. And oh, what's that noise? And there's like a mosquito going on. Look it up. It's hilarious.
Okay.
But they were talking about sleep studies and you see this person as this clock is moving in fast motion and they're doing this like aerobic routine in bed as they flip around because they move so much over time.
Oh, that's fun.
And as a 10-year-old, I thought that was hilarious.
Okay, and then the last thing is readiness, which seems to be them sort of combining all the things.
Yeah, so I think readiness is kind of based on your sleep. Here's how ready you are to tackle the day. And this is where you can see your deviation from your baseline.
Yes. Oh,
what is my baseline?
I see what happened here. Okay, so there was a roundtable discussion. They were like, okay, and then we're also just tracking their general health. Well, we can't say healthiness. That's a little too aggro. Okay, what about like readiness? Like you're ready for the day.
That's good. Josephine, write it on the board.
Okay, I'm writing it on the board.
Okay, any other thoughts?
We need to unionize.
Well, let's not put that on the board, okay? We can talk about that at another meeting,
Mr.
Josephine.
Blatcher. Okay, so I'm sure it's a nice place to work. Okay, so readiness contributors, resting heart rate, HRV balance, heart rate variability.
That sounds reasonable.
Body temperature, recovery index. Previous night's sleep, which
usually.
Jesus. Sleep balance.
I get a lot of chastisement there as well.
Okay.
For the length of my sleep and the late start to my sleep.
Fair. Previous day's activity and activity balance.
The way I was reading the whole readiness thing was like how much energy you have to tackle the day, how ready you are. And generally, I felt that mapped pretty well, though I wonder how much of a self-fulfilling prophecy it can become.
Sure.
When you get up out of bed and it says, 59, pay attention. You're like, oh, shoot, I'm not really ready for today.
Oh, yeah.
And then
description becomes proscription.
Right. I imagine psychologically that could pull you one way or the other. Like, oh, yeah, you know what? I am chipper. I am ready to go.
That's interesting because I saw 81 readiness and was like, no way, dude. That's because I feel very tired.
That's funny. Like 81, I think, is the highest score that I ever got on that measure.
Oh, okay. Boy, this is real confusing.
83 once. Okay. But usually much lower. Okay. 84.
I've definitely had a lot of like 60s.
Yeah. A lot of 70s, some 60s, occasional 50. So I don't know how much I use that, but I would kind of see that number come up. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I do feel kind of groggy. So that seems about right.
But I think probably this is where the secret sauce is, because like the body temperature variability, that's what they're really looking for the COVID stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your readiness is low, you got COVID.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can see your measures here now. It does look a little different than my chart. Yeah.
Hey, Ross, I slipped y'all Carrie's info.
Yeah, my app has been creeping on yours.
Buds.
Thanks, Ring.
Oh, yeah, you betcha.
I'm glad we had that talking.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm on your team.
And then all along, this app is feeding you little notifications and little extra screens where they sort of explain where these numbers come from, what they mean, and they sort of try to parent you around a little bit to get you to be more responsible.
Right. Sleep some more.
Yeah, I like this one where I'm looking at my sleep score, and it's at 50, and on this half circle arc, it's only moved halfway, and it says, you know, 50, pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be all right, is the title. And then it says, it's time to take action. Your sleep score is declining.
Oh, dear.
It's like a little intervention it's having with me. To get back on track, try to keep your sleep schedule consistent and find something calming to do in the evening. You'll get there.
It's going to be all right.
And then it shows me a little chart of your sleep score for the past 7 nights. I'm sorry, it shows me my...
Oh, okay.
It says your sleep score, referring to my sleep score.
Oh, gotcha.
But it shows this line that's just sort of declining, sadly. And it's orange. When it's happy with you, it's like blue. And when it's upset with you, it's orange.
Yeah. Superhero colors, though. So that's nice. Oh, my God. Okay, so night before last, I was in bed for 9.5 hours. Logged 8 hours of sleep, deep sleep, 31 minutes, which is 6%.
If you love stats and charts and, you know, the ability to track all of these little pieces of your life, this app has so many rewards for you. Because I swear, if you click around, you'll find like this extra little interface you didn't even know was there.
Yeah.
Like I just saw this one screen grab I took that shows my various bedtimes compared.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
And like that helped me. Just seeing that, I thought, oh, yeah, this has been unhealthy. Look at me getting to bed on average at like 3. It said last night you went to bed at 2:46. Your ideal bedtime is between 1:30 and 2:30. It's trying to reel me back. But it was really helpful just to see that and be like, that's not good.
Totally.
I must fix that.
You know, there's this book called Changeology that's by a behavior change specialist out. I think he's out of Harvard that I have over there. That's why I'm looking at my left.
Yeah. Have you read that book, Ring? Is it good?
I don't read. Fuck books.
You know what? That's what you said about movies at first, and then you changed your tune.
Yeah, I was lying then, and now you don't know whether to trust me. I'm a real sneaky shit.
So, about Changeology, he says that one of the most important parts of behavior change is the part none of his clients want to do, which is actually getting an accurate count of what you're doing now. Like starting with what your current
baseline is. Start with data.
Start with data, but partly because people think like, well, okay, I'll just like figure out what the max is I could do and I'll start there and then we'll move the maximum. But it's just not how your brain actually works.
Right.
We mostly move like about like 2 to 5% from where we last were.
Mm.
So if you're not doing exercise at all, you might want to start out by doing like 10 push-ups and really 10 push-ups and call that success and then try to move that 2% once that becomes comfortable.
Smart.
Yeah.
Scaffolding.
Scaffolding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get to that next stage.
Yeah.
Work there and then get to the next one. Not a plateau, but a scaffold.
Oh, like a tiered theater. Like the Globe.
Yeah.
The famous Globe Theater.
Stadium seating.
Like stadium seating.
Let's come up with more analogies.
It's
like climbing mountain probable. You don't just jump up the mountainside. Wow. You go around the back and you climb up the gentle slope.
I think Richard Dawkins is a wonderful writer, but sometimes he comes up with these analogies where I'm like, well, it's very clear this is working for you.
That's funny. I think climbing mountain probable, though I actually haven't read that book. That's one of the few I haven't. But one where I know what you're talking about is in The God Delusion, he talks about like how to rate how much you believe any given statement. Mm-hmm. And he says, let's put it on a scale of 1 to 7. I was like, why? Why 1 to 7? We rate things 1 to 10, not just on this podcast, but in general. Why 1 to 7? You know, 5-star rating, sure. Why introduce 7 as your... I just remember thinking like, I guess that works for you, Richard Dawkins.
Well, I remember in Unweaving the Rainbow, he's like, if you took a blanket and you hung it from your ceiling with push pins in all the edges and see some of them would fold up. And I was like, this is so not helping me. Now I'm just trying to picture that when before I was trying to picture the cell you were describing.
That's hilarious.
Now I have a new image I can't quite understand. Anyway, listen, we're all good at something. And what would you give this on a pseudoscience rating on a scale of 1 to 7, where 7 is something very pseudoscientific, like fossils were put there by Satan in order to fool you so that you won't believe in the Bible?
That's true.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. That was me from 20 years ago. Never mind. That's wrong.
And then 1 is something completely scientific, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. Fossils done be either dead animals or the things dead animals died in and then they dried the fuck up and bada bing, bada boom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'll just expand that to the 1 to 10 because...
Okay. That's fine.
I don't want Dawkins to win this particular fight.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
as fair. Much as he can win others.
7 actually feels intuitively good to me, but I'm going to let it go.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're one of those. I see.
It just feels good.
Okay.
But
people
I
like
get
that
it.
Number. People like 7. You and Isaac Newton. So pseudoscience, very little. I feel like this is grounded in good evidence. I'm not wild about some of these little aggregate scores that I can't properly gamify or control.
Mm-hmm.
But I like having all this data. And as far as I can tell, it seems to map pretty well to reality. I don't have any reason to like really doubt that it's pulling accurate info from my finger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of anything where I could give it a ding, but nothing's coming to me. So I'll say 1.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. I think the actual functionality of the ring itself and how it performs in the app is like pretty sciencey. I mean, maybe renaming some things and combining some scores that, like you say, are kind of your proprietary blend.
I'm guessing it'll change over time, too. I feel like they're pulling in a bunch of data and they're making adjustments.
And once this COVID study's in, that will matter a lot. I will say this, though. I think in the marketing, they tend to get maybe a little on the edge of pseudoscience. I see, like, on their blog, they have a guy who's like, Aura helped me spot my COVID-19 symptoms. And that appears to be true. Like, he saw his temperature go up and he went and got a test and he had been exposed to COVID and he had it. I'm like, okay, I mean, like, you need a lot more people to make that anecdote become data.
I think of how in all of those Apple Watch announcements, they'll have all these moving stories of people who would have died if their heart rate monitor didn't tell them, like, oh, you need to get to the hospital.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Okay.
But also a good advertising pitch when you're buying a $300, $400 device.
Sure. So I noticed that on the same blog, the guy who said it helped him spot his COVID, he's like, and by the way, here are some other recommendations I've got. Do breath work. Get infrared light therapy.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
So this is just the guy who wrote the testimonial?
It's not a testimonial. It's like a blog they had him write.
Ah.
Oh, in fact, actually, you know what?
Huh.
No, it says author our Aura team.
Ew. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that the marketing might go a little off the rails a little bit. So anyway, with that in mind, I'm going to give it more like a 3.
Fair. I hadn't seen those kinds of things, which would definitely bring my score up.
Yeah.
Based on what you've just said, that gives me grounds to at least bring them up to a 2.
Pepper.
Yeah. Talking ring that I'm taking to a volcano.
Come on.
our bets. We're pros. Come on. You were down at zero or one.
All right, my precious.
All right, thank you. I'm going to sleep.
Hey, Ring, do you happen to know a guinea pig named Kevin?
No.
Okay, just checking. You? Yeah, I do.
You do? Yeah, does he have a similar voice to me? Is that what we're talking about?
He does have a similar voice.
I've forgotten what my own voice is.
It sounds kind of like Kevin.
Well, we're both small, so maybe if someone had to think of a voice real quick for both of us, they'd come up with the same voice. That seems possible. I don't know.
Thought you might be related.
Or maybe you're sizist and you just don't realize that when somebody's really little, they sound a certain way to your ears.
Sure.
Oh, we all sound the same, huh? Sorry to hear it. Okay. I'm going to go be mad.
What would you give this on a danger rating where one is something not dangerous at all? You put on a pair of glasses and
they're mine.
Go bravely into the world. Yeah, they're okay. Your prescription and everything.
Perfect. I do that all the time.
Whereas 10 is something very dangerous.
Okay.
Oh, I think I got something in my eye, and you start splashing Tapatio in your eyes.
Oh, no. Oh, that's really dangerous. One, you're really going to have to work for this to harm you. You could manage it, but
it sounds like if you're reading the blog, you might start getting light therapy and some other things you don't need. But yeah, wearing this ring is going to be as comfortable as wearing any ring, which I was worried about because of the thickness of it. I thought it was going to be uncomfortable. I just don't accessorize. It's not my thing, but I got used to it.
Nice.
Yeah, in danger? Nah, I'm with you, one.
Which was more uncomfortable to wear, this or the penis clamp?
The penis clamp. Hands down, cocks up.
Cool. Strong statement from the old blotchy town.
And talk about sleep quality. Not good with the penis clamp. For anyone who hasn't listened to this episode, it's a very old one, but
yeah.
We tried out various breast enhancement and penis enhancement.
Enlargement. And now we have enormous breasts and a huge wang.
Because we've used these things continuously since then.
Yeah.
We just haven't told you about it.
What would you give this creepiness rating? One is you go to a jewelry store and you're like, I'd like to buy my wife a ring, please.
Mm-hmm.
This is my beautiful wife, Clara. We've been together for whatever it is, 91 years. And she would like a ruby. And they're like, here's a beautiful ring and it's $4,000. And you're like, oh God, can I put it on layaway? And they're like, yeah, I don't know. You get her a ring.
But it's not creepy.
And then it's all fine. And then 10 is something incredibly creepy. Uh-oh. So take Cara to the jeweler, walk in the door, and she's like, oh gosh, I don't even know what I want. I haven't really decided. She's wandering around. And then this one ring goes, psst, psst. Hey, Ross.
Oh, shit.
It's me, the ring over here. I'll help you monitor your wife.
And it's the Aura ring. That's only $300.
Oh, well.
After 4,000.
Good on the pocket trainer. Yeah, totally. Okay, that's 10. Yeah, not creepy. There is nothing creepy about this.
I think I am just barely in the camp of folks who, like, I never want to have an Alexa.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
Siri's a little weird.
And now you know that all this info is going out to the cloud, going off to the study, going off to the Aura people.
I think I'm still less on that scale.
Off to Ross.
right.
This horrible
data
breach.
That's actually happening. I think I'm less on that scale than most of my peers. I think most people I know are like more weirded out by it than I am. But I'm still enough that it registers.
Yeah.
It's like, this is something I should be aware of and like keep a little creeped out about so that I don't just fall into an Alexa rabbit hole. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think we're in a generation that's kind of in a transitional point where like we're getting to that just comfort with sharing everything about our lives.
Yeah.
I think like people younger than us are even more comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
People older than us are like totally uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I fall on the end of just like, yeah, sure, put it all out there.
Oh, interesting.
Here's my life. Sure, look at it. Whatever. I don't care. But I'm going to be up till 3 a.m. analyzing your data.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, have at it. I'll be tossing and turning in bed at that time. Yeah, so I don't know. I'd give it like a 2.
Okay. Yeah, not creepy for me. What would you give this on a pocket drainer value? where one is something not very pocket draining. A man turns to you on the street and says, can I give you this $20 gift card to Starbucks?
Oh my God. I guess so.
Here you go.
Oh no, it has COVID
on it. Have a nice day.
Okay.
But it's not pocket draining, is what I'm saying.
True. Well, unless now I have to pay for my COVID treatments.
Mm,
well, boy, I see everything in terms of germs now. Okay.
Whereas a 10 is, you are walking down the street and a man turns to you and says, here's a $20 gift card to Starbucks, but he coughs on it. I have COVID. Here's the card.
And that's a 10 on the pocket trainer value, because I will definitely get sick. And
but then you go to the Starbucks and you buy a baguette.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do they have? Biscotti?
Oh, yeah. I don't like those. But okay.
Yeah. Who likes biscotti?
Some people do. What's going on there?
Probably the same people who like fruitcakes.
Ugh. Don't even talk to me if you like those things.
And
oh, this reminds me that I have something to give you that's gross to me and good to you. Go on.
And some carrot juice. You get all these things ready. They add up to $20.
But okay.
Then Starbucks says, oh, don't you know, this is a debt card. And you actually are paying off that guy's debt to Starbucks. So you owe us $60.
So it's like a credit card that's due.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like a debit card.
And it turns out you can just hand those to a person and end up with the debt.
Ah, you touched it. You have my debt now. Boy, don't take anything from Trump if that's the case.
Oh, boy, no kidding.
You owe $420 million now to who knows who.
Oh, my God. People listening to this in the future, you know so much more than we do. So I just want to tell you, we're recording this on the day that we found out that Trump only paid $750 in taxes last year. Our president of the United States. And I hope to fuck he goes to prison.
Me too.
Okay, so that's a 10. So it's expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
It is. This is not easy disposable income. Like,
no.
I got $346.19 burning a hole in my pocket.
Yeah, we're going to have to try to sell this thing on Etsy. Someone's going to want this.
I was going to say, how do we resolve custody on this thing?
Yeah, well, I could sell it on my Etsy store and then we could just split.
Okay,
it.
So if you want to buy our used Aura Ring and if you get anywhere near me, I'll probably get your data transmitted to my phone.
That's true.
Like, we'll meet each other at a live show and then I'll get like a little notification. And then I'll feel like a buzz in my pocket and I'll look down and be like, oh, now I see how this person has been sleeping for the past year.
I'll tell you what, you buy this ring. Walk up to Ross and say, pleased to meet you, Mr. Blotcher. And shake his hand and see if he remembers this moment.
Or you could say, hi, Ross.
Oh, hey, Ross, it's me, the ring.
I thought you might want to know how this person has been sleeping for the past year.
Okay, so either or, your call, buyer. So anyway, it's a 5.
Okay. Yeah, because it is doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in a position to rate just the impressiveness of the technical wizardry that went into creating this very svelte ring. It's impressive gadget, for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's cool. It's got these, you know, they were not uncomfortable, those little nubs that press into your skin. And I just got used to it after a while. In fact, like in bed, I would just kind of check it every now and then, like, is that pointing in the right direction?
Yep.
And I would adjust it ever so slightly toward God. So even for my discomfort with wearing rings and necklaces and things like that, I had no problem with it. But we're talking about the
pocket drainer.
You know, I think if I were to spend that kind of money for myself, I would probably just upgrade slightly and get an Apple Watch, which comes with so many additional features.
Interesting.
But the ring factor is cool. I really like seeing my sleep data for all my complaints about the activity score.
I would rather have this than an additional screen in my life. So
yeah,
I would rather have this than an Apple Watch. I'd also rather have it than like Fitbit and its competitors, because I think it's sleeker, it's easier. You can just wear it as a ring. It's an attractive ring.
There's a whole host of additional data gatherers and devices that we've left out of this discussion. But yeah, there are other things that you can get that will give you similar info.
Yeah.
But
be part of a study. Why not?
Yeah. And that was cool, actually. I liked that I got to contribute data towards that study, even though I didn't catch COVID, but all of those tests that we talked about on our previous episode, I was able to feed that into the study, and that was kind of cool as well.
Yeah, me too, yeah. And person who buys this will get to do that too.
So, yeah, if I saw someone with an Aura ring, I'd be like, oh, that's cool, and we'd have a conversation about it, but I wouldn't be like, why'd you spend that money? I get it. If you're into that kind of stuff, it's a good deal, but it's expensive. So if it were like $80, I'd be like, everybody get one of these. Mm-hmm. I'll join you at $5. That was a really long way of me saying, I agree.
Fair enough. And
hot drinks?
Yeah.
Thumbs down.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sideways. This wasn't stopping me from having hot drinks.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But
really, can you expect that of a ring?
Yeah, I guess not. I guess not.
See, I did you a solid there, ring.
Hey, Ross.
One other thing we should say about the science.
Yeah.
Although we have no reason to doubt the metrics like the temperature and heart rate, we aren't comparing it to any outside confirmation.
Right. It's a good thing to point out. And I would imagine what they've done is they've probably compared what they get from the ring to those real life measures,
right,
and kind of calibrated it based on that. Like, oh, this seems to be the consistent error bar. Let's push it this direction.
But we didn't test that.
I would imagine these are approximate statistics. But sure. That's a very good thing to point out. Well, that's it for our show.
Our theme music is by Frankie Dalton.
Our administrative manager is Ian Kramer.
This episode was edited by Victor Figueroa.
You can support us, help us buy expensive gadgetry to try out and tell you about at MaximumFun.org/join/donate.
And let's say that's not something you can do right now. We get it.
Oh, yeah.
You can support us by giving us a positive review.
Oh, yeah. That would be really nice.
At Apple Podcasts or Podbean or whatever you use
and
to listen to this.
Carrie wouldn't see it, but I might.
That's true.
And if it's really nice, then I'll screen grab it and share it with Carrie.
There you go. And also, here's an option. Get a goddamn banana. Right on rack on it. Put the banana on a stick. March down your street holding the banana over your head. Why has no one done this yet?
Oh, you're upset that nobody's followed on this?
Nobody's done the banana bit. Not one person.
Well, it's not as fun as the cross stitch.
Oh my God, those cross stitches were so good. Before we go, if you are an American citizen, make sure you're registered to vote.
Yes, please.
You can go to iwillvote.com to make sure that your registration is current. If you want to vote by mail, you can make sure you're signed up for that. And look out for our special episode next week about this election. We have fun stuff coming up.
I agree too. Vote for Biden. He's fine.
And remember,
right from the start, the mission was to help people to unleash their full potential. And that's where we succeeded.
The first Oura Ring is the best wearable on the market in the measurement of sleep and recovery.
Most of the people seem to love the design.
It's the smallest wearable ever manufactured.
There is many benefits when measuring from the finger that enables accurate optical measurement, for example.
We wanted to help people to recover from daily mental and physical strain. So we needed to develop a solution that really seamlessly and effortlessly integrates to your life and gives you guidance for better choices. We are so proud to announce the new Oura Ring to you all.
It's really light. It's lighter than a conventional ring.
It's like a wedding band.
You can almost forget that you are wearing a ring.
And it looks awesome. It is even more accurate. It has more processing power. It has more memory. But even with added functionality, we've been able to lengthen the battery life.
It's about using the power smartly. The battery size is half of the first ring. And then we have a battery life that is triple of the first ring, so it is amazing. One of the key things is improved message engine, so that the application learns about you.
The customers will see more personalized guidance that will be fitting to them, like a well-fitting dress or suit.
I think the one and only thing that we have had in our minds is user.
I really think that wearing the new ring will shout out a positive signal that I am unique, I care about myself, and I know the importance of sleep and recovery.
We wanted to provide you the way that you can understand yourself what is happening in your body. And for that reason, we needed to develop a companion to you.
Hello there, ghouls and gals. It is I, April Wolf. I'm here to take you through the twisty, scary, heart-pounding world of genre cinema on the exhilarating program known as Switchblade Sisters. The concept is simple. I invite a female filmmaker on each week, and we discuss their favorite genre film. Listen in closely to hear past guests like The Babadook director, Jennifer Kent, Winter's Bone director, Deborah Granick, and so many others every Thursday on MaximumFun.org. Tune in if you dare.
It's actually a very thought-provoking show that deeply explores the craft and philosophy behind the filmmaking process while also examining film through the lens of the female gaze. So, like, you should listen.
Switchblade Sisters.
Hey, I'm Bria Grant, an e-reader who loves spoilers and chocolate.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara, a print book collector who will murder you if you spoil a book for me.
And we're the hosts of Reading Glasses, a podcast designed to help you read better.
Over the past few years, we've figured out why people read.
Self-improvement.
Escapism.
To distract ourselves from the world burning down.
And why they don't.
Not enough time.
Not knowing what to read.
And being overwhelmed by the number on their TBR list.
And we're here to help you with that. We will help you conquer your TBR pile while probably adding a bunch of books to it.
Reading Glasses.
Every week
on MaximumFun.org.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.